Welcome back to the Ramble Room. Yes, we are back from the middle swamp in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and glad to be back. We're lining out a number of shows, plan to resume a regular schedule for the Ramble Room, and also on the Independence Network, taking a little bit bigger role there, some changes in my life here that I hope will make me a little more available to do such things. Recently, John Baer of the Wyoming Freedom Caucus hosted a town hall featuring conservative representatives. These include Sarah Penn and Tony Locke and Scott Heiner. And I hope you will appreciate what they have to say. I thought they did an excellent job at kind of summing up what happened down in Cheyenne. Again, I do apologize for the sound quality. I took this off of a Facebook Live broadcast, so it's a little bit less than super spiffy, but man, what they have to say is excellent, and I hope you'll enjoy it. Again, it's good to be back, and I look forward to many more shows in the weeks to come. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone, to our first town hall after the 2024 budget session. We're going to be doing a recap tonight, but as you can see in this picture that I'm sharing right now, there is an event that has popped up as an issue here in Campbell County, and we're hearing that it's happening all over the state. And you can see on this picture at the bathroom, and this is supposed to be the family bathrooms at the rec center in Campbell County. And we've had issues with males in women's restrooms and dropping their towels in front of women and all kinds of things. And so there was a bill this session that would have dealt with this. And I just wanted to get right into that issue. If you all would just take a moment and listen to Sarah Penn. Sarah, thank you for being on the panel tonight. I'll introduce the others as we start on them. But Sarah, you just tell us where you're from, what district you represent, and tell us how this issue that we're having in Campbell County would have been addressed.
Yeah, thanks, John. So I'm Sarah Penn, District 33 in Fremont County, and we had House Bill 50, What is a Woman Act, that would have fixed these types of scenarios by simply defining what is a woman, what is a man, and when are the situations appropriate to enter in. If there's a anticipation of safety, then we're going to go with your biological gender. It's a little bit shocking, but at the same time, not if you're very in the know in this state about what happens here. But all we did was 42 votes to get this bill through introduction. And this bill died 37 to 24. 19 Republicans voted against it. This is one of those things that I consider common sense, or as I like to call it, a no-brainer. But you know what? It seems like some people might seem to be a little too open-minded, and maybe their brains actually fell out on this one, because in Wyoming, we should have had the common sense to pass this. You can look at the no votes. We're going to post them in the comments. Go through that list. If you see your representative's name on the list, get busy this campaign season, because we need new butts in the seats. So that was a loss. What else do we have as far as wins? The next thing that I wanted to touch on was Senate File 9, which is parental rights and education. This bill said parents shall be notified of changes in their child's emotional, physical, mental well-being. They shall have access to records, because we know that what has been going on in a few parts of our state where these things have been kept from parents. And so that's super important. This came through as a decent bill. We were able to strengthen it, kind of tie up some loopholes and add some good language to it. And really the most exciting thing to me about this bill was in third reading, we were able to get through an amendment that says no treatment, no teaching of any radical gender ideologies, no sexual orientation without parental consent first. So you got to get that opt-in from a parent. And this applies to grades K through 12, which is a big deal for Wyoming. We know that Florida had something similar that was all in the news. That only applies to K through 3. We've got K-12, so that's pretty great for Wyoming, guys. The next thing that I wanted to touch on is Senate File 99, Chloe's Law, another big win for us. Took us two sessions to get Chloe's Law through, but we did it. Guys, that's pretty amazing. As I'm sure that you know, it prevents the sterilizing medications, prevents mutilating surgeries on kids, which is a big step. These things are happening in our state, even though last year they were saying, nope, not here. Then it was, oh, well, it's happening here, but only adults. Oh, then during session even, oh, well, it is happening to kids, but only a handful of kids. And it's just gotten out of control, as you can see with what's going on with the bathroom situation. And not very long ago, they were saying that wasn't happening. So this is something that we really needed. It passed the House, or excuse me, it passed the Senate whole, no amendments, but it got to the House. And what started to happen? Amendment after amendment after amendment, and multiple attempts to try to add loopholes and weaken this bill. And we were able to fend off most of that, which was amazing. Finally, Chloe's Law passed 55-6, which is awesome. One Republican and five Democrats voted against this bill. What that tells me on this is that these representatives, they know that you, their voters, don't buy into this nonsense, into this narrative. They know it's election season. And we were able to get this great bill through, thankfully, because they understand that they're going to be held accountable by their constituents. So way to go. Just wanted to let you know. Oh, Donna, did you have them?
Has that been signed by the governor yet?
I was just going to say that has not been signed by the governor yet. He's got a little more time to potentially veto it. So we need you guys to contact the governor, and we'll put the phone number in the comments. You can send emails, but call. And let's make sure that we put the pressure on to get this bill signed, and especially not vetoed, because this is needed in our state to protect our kids right now as we speak. And so please get busy on that. Another bill that I think is definitely worth mentioning is House Bill 125, which is the repeal gun-free zones. So we know that mass shootings happen in places where there are no guns to protect people. Bad guys aren't stupid. Generally, they go to places where they're not going to have any resistance. And so this was a great win as well for Wyoming, so that we can protect our kids and protect ourselves in circumstances where so far we haven't been allowed, where our Second Amendment rights are able to be fully used. And so this is a big win for us. It was actually killed in the Senate committee after it passed the House, but it was revived from a few of our good solid conservatives on the Senate side, brought to the floor, and they ended up passing that bill 22-8. So that's another great win for us, and another opportunity for you to call the governor and tell him to sign this bill. Because once again, it's potentially in jeopardy of having a veto. The governor, when he was campaigning, he said he would sign a bill like this, and now it's on his desk. So let's see what happens. He needs to be held accountable.
Sarah, did we have anything happen on education choice?
Yes, we did. We got a framework in place finally to have some school choice in House Bill 166. This bill isn't perfect. We still have some work to do on this so that we can try to expand this to universal school choice. We'd already tried that, made all the attempts possible, but we just didn't have the votes to strengthen this bill the way that we were hoping to do it, so that we have better access for school choice to all families. But it's a start. It's a framework, so we can work from here. And hopefully we have that opportunity. A couple other things. You know, I just wanted to say that during session, I had the opportunity to go home and attend my precinct caucus and talk to my neighbors and my constituents and read the resolutions that people were bringing there. And it was really great, because most probably of the resolutions that were coming through our county, at least, I was able to say, guys, most of these resolutions are in the forms of bills right now in session. And most of them, unfortunately, at that time had already died, not being introduced or by other means. But you've got people fighting for you. We are fighting for you and the things that you want, that Wyoming wants and needs. And we need more votes. And so we really need people to be active this summer in campaign season. Know how your representatives are voting and get busy. If you've got a great one, wonderful. Support them because it's going to be a fight. And if you don't have a great one, work to help get them replaced.
Very good. We're going to have some Q&A that you're going to get involved with. So I want you to just be prepared for that. Some people are already asking questions about medical freedom and things like that. But we did have some success on the pro-life front. It was not what you would expect. We really should just have abortion outlawed right now, but that's caught up in the courts. Can you share just a little bit about what happened on the pro-life front?
Yeah, so we had House Bill 148, and what that does is, so right now, we, you know, last session we brought a ban on chemical abortions and other abortions, but those are being tied up in court right now. So abortions are still happening in this state, unfortunately. So what 148 does is makes sure that if this is happening, that it's done so safely in surgical centers. But then we were also able to help to amend to require ultrasounds before abortions, which is a big deal because it's shown that women change their minds once they can see that that's a baby, it's got a heartbeat, and there's a life in there, and they change their minds, which is wonderful to save babies, but it's also wonderful for the mental health of mothers because there are consequences to abortions, and people need to understand that.
Sarah, thank you so much. That was a lot in a very short amount of time. I appreciate that. Hopefully that allows us to get to some Q&A later on. I want to bring Tony up next. Tony Locke is from Casper, and he's going to share with you something that's near and dear to just about everybody in the state that owns any kind of property, property tax reform and relief. And Tony, if you could just start sharing with us exactly what happened, or at least what the outcome was of this session as far as property tax relief. Need you to unmute yourself. I muted you there earlier. Sorry.
Thank you, John. And thank you for all you who could attend. I'm Tony Locke from House District 35 over here on the east side of Natrona County, kind of on the east side of Casper. Just a quick summary of what happened this year. As John mentioned, property taxes, very hot topic for everybody. I know a lot of you have had property taxes skyrocket on you, but we did have some success getting some bills over the line this session. So I want to talk a little bit about those. First, House Bill 3, one of our property taxes. This is a property tax exemption for long-term homeowners here in the state. So what this property tax bill did or does or will do in next year, if you're 65 or older and you've paid property tax here in the state of Wyoming for 25 years, you'll get a 50% exemption on the assessed value of your property. So this is a huge opportunity for folks who've been here for a very long time. It'll give you a big break. We were happy we could get this one pushed over the line with a pretty good number, and we were able to get that 25 years. Originally, it was a little bit higher, and we were able to get it pushed down, and we are thankful for that. House Bill 4, actually, this is the property tax refund program. This has been around quite a long time, but we've been able to increase the benefit from this property tax bill. And what this does, it's a means tested. The refund program is means tested. So based on where you land concerning your medium gross household income, you get a certain amount of tax refund. Historically, it's been lower. We were able to push it up in the last session to 125%. That gives you 100% refund, but we were able to add a couple of tiers to that. So now, if you're a little bit higher income, you're able to get 45% or 65%. And then if you're 165% of the median household income, 165% gives you about a 25% reimbursement. So this is a very effective program. All of you, there's a lot to this program. I recommend if you think you might qualify, get out there, get the information. We'll be putting the information out there to make it available for everyone to use as well. Two of the one other bill that passed was Senate File 89 is what that one did. Pretty basic. It basically increased the veteran exemption. It doubled it from $3,000 a year to $6,000 a year. So that was a nice bump for the veterans. Moving on to two other programs. Now, the Freedom Caucus, we've been pushing from a couple of different perspectives very hard. Basically, we look at property taxes from two perspectives. One is reform and the other is relief. The two bills I talked about give relief to certain categories of people, but we're looking for reform and relief for all property tax owners. So the next bill that comes up is House Bill 45. So there was a lot of contention and discussion on House Bill 45, but we were able to put some amendments in place, and I think make House Bill 45 to where it really does start to begin to provide some real reform for people. So House Bill 45, basically what that does, we finally were able to get a cap in place that was originally set at about 5%. And then we were able to get it moved down to about 4%. And what this does in year one, this 4% cap, initially in year one, it's on your residential structure, but we were able to get it amended. So in year two, it will be on the residential structure and property associated with that residential structure. There's still a lot to do to make this bill even better moving forward. But at this point, at least part of your property taxes, we've finally been able to get a cap in place and start to move in the direction of some real reform that will help homeowners and property taxpayers in the state. A few things we tried to do, we did try to expand this quite a bit. We were trying to add external buildings. One of the big changes we tried to make, we tried to include beyond just residential structures. We tried to include all other property tax category. We were not able to do that. Those are some examples of some areas that moving forward, we can take and make it better.
Can you tell the listeners what all is included in the other category that you just mentioned that we were trying to include?
Sure, absolutely. So the all other category we weren't able to really include ag and some personal property, but it would have at least included commercial property. And we wanted to get that added in. We thought that would be a big help for folks as well. Again, we weren't able to in this session, but these are some ideas we're putting out there moving forward, opportunities for future reform, making it better for Wyoming property taxpayers. Finally, moving toward what we would refer to as relief, and this is Senate File 54. This is a homeowner tax exemption bill. It actually came through committee last year, and this has gone through a lot of transition. And basically what this bill does, this is a bill to where all homeowners will get a tax exemption, and the exemption is 25%. Now, in year one, because there's some complexities, we would have rather included land and some other things in year one. But in year one, it's a 25% exemption. And then we were able to get it extended to a second year, again, an exemption against all residential real property in both 2024 and 2025. So this is at least some initial relief, broad relief to all taxpayers across the state. It's set at 25% currently. So basically, if you have a $200,000 home, you'll get an exemption on $50,000 of that property tax against your residential property. So it will definitely give a break to all taxpayers, which we weren't. Those first two bills, they give some relief to segments of our taxpayers, but this is one of those bills that finally gives broader relief to all of our taxpayers. So we were happy we could get these moved through. None of them are perfect. However, we were able to get things moved forward, and we will be working very hard to continue to move property tax reform forward in the years to come. Important to note on these last bills, really the last three bills, House Bill 4, House Bill 45, and Senate File 54. The important note there is these go into effect immediately. So for the cap, that's supposed to go in place this year. and the homeowner tax exemption is going in place this year as well. So these are all areas where hopefully we're providing some reform and some relief to the broad spectrum of taxpayers across the state.
Tony, a couple of things. One is that some of these bills have not yet been signed by the governor. And so if you could just mention which ones you believe have not been signed yet. And then the other thing is, we had a lot of discussion about the cost of giving taxpayers relief and reform. And, you know, this is kind of a Washington, D.C. Democrat kind of thing where it's not the taxpayers' money, it's the government's money. And so it's going to cost the government to give that back. That last one, Senate File 54, ended up at about a $200 million, quote unquote, cost. But we certainly heard a lot of people saying, well, we just cannot afford this. You know, I think about what Scott's going to talk about in a moment is what we did with the budget. But we put about $700 million in savings, but we fought just to get $200 million in relief back to the people. Is that what you observed as well?
And yes. In fact, we tried to push those numbers up. So there was a battle on this bill to where they wanted to limit it. There were people in the House that wanted to limit this to a single year exemption. And we fought very hard to get it extended to a second year. And we tried to push that 25% up. We tried to push that up to 35%. We tried to push it to 30% because we felt like currently, as you said, John, it costs the state about $200 million. Quite honestly, we would rather cost the state a little bit more than that and leave more in people's pockets in the next 2 years. That was our goal. That being said, those are some areas for us to move forward on, but we would have loved to seen that number much higher. I know one of our amendments that we were pushing forward actually was about $300 million a year for the 2 years. That would have put it at about $600 million that we would have left in people's pockets over the next 2 years. But that was too much, according to some people in the House floor. So again, we'll continue to fight hard. This group of conservatives will continue to battle to try to make sure we keep that money in your pocket, leave that money in your pocket wherever we can.
Thank you, Tony. That was great. We are going to have a sheet available in the comments of this Facebook post that will give a summary of all the things that you shared. And that would also tell them if that bill has been signed by the governor at this point or not. At this point, I'd like to move on to Scott, who comes from the southwest part of the state, and he is going to talk about the big bill during the session, House Bill number one, the budget. And Scott, take it away.
Thank you, John, and good evening, everyone. I appreciate the opportunity of visiting with you a little bit tonight about the budget. As you have, the budget ended up to be about $11.5 billion. Now, what the media is reporting is quite a bit different than that. You may have read in the media that it was only 10.6 or 10.7, but that's the efforts by some of our legislators to soften the blow and make it look like it's not as large as it really is. But this is the largest biennial budget in the history of the state of Wyoming. And I want to explain this a little bit for everyone to understand. And to do that, I'm going to go back 1 year to last year's session where we gave the state departments an additional $450 million because we had a $2 billion surplus. So that was because of all the federal money that was coming in for stimulus money, plus our natural resources generated more money than what we anticipated. And so we had almost a $2 billion surplus. So during our last session, we did a supplemental budget where we gave more money to the state to spend. And what's interesting is we found out last month, some of these departments couldn't spend all that money. It came too fast and too much. They had a hard time spending that money. And so normally in a normal year, that money that's not spent reverts back to the legislature so that we can reappropriate it in coming years. This year, the legislature decided to leave that money with those departments and give them even more, saying, I know you tried to spend this money. Here, we're going to give you some more. Hopefully, with a little bit more experience, you can spend this money. So I'll give you a little bit of what happened behind the scenes there in Cheyenne. So we start with a standard budget or a base budget. This is what is required to keep services of the government at zero, at the level that they are today. No increase or no decrease. It's just what is it would be required to stay at the same level of services. That was $8.8 billion. And then the governor, he puts in his wish list. So things that he would like to see for the next 2 years. And he put a wish list together of $1.1 billion. So about 12% more he wanted to add to the budget. And then that was in October. And then between that period of time and January, of course, we saw that we would have some additional revenues coming in because the price of oil and natural gas and coal was a little higher than expected. So he revised his budget request up to $9.9 billion. So this is the governor that started his tenure with a budget of $8.6 billion. Now he's asking for $9.9 billion. So about a third more than what he started with. He's grown state government. So to give this some how this actually works, it's kind of like when you go in to buy a car. You go into the dealer and he asks for this much for the car, and you come in and say, well, I'm willing to pay this much, and expecting to come in and negotiate somewhere in the middle. So I think that's what the governor may be doing is putting a wish list together that's way up here and expecting to end up down here somewhere. But what happened when our House legislature got a hold of this, started out at the 9.9, they raised it up another $300 million. So can you imagine going into a car dealer and buying a new pickup, and they ask for $70,000 for the new pickup, and you say, well, my cab sold for a little bit more than I expected, so I'll give you $75,000 for it. So, you know, the car dealership is pretty excited when you offer them more money than what they asked for. And that's kind of what happened with the governor and the legislature. He asked for $9.9 billion, and the House raised that up to $11.1 billion. Now, fortunately, on the Senate side, we have more conservative members over in the Senate, and they took his $9.9 billion, and they cut out about $700 or $800 million from that, so that we could have a decent range to negotiate in. So when we have it, so we had a $1.1 billion difference between the House and the Senate version of the same budget. So quite a big discrepancy there. So that usually goes to a joint conference committee where they try to meet in the middle. Well, this joint conference committee was set up and orchestrated so it would fail, because once you fail to reach the negotiation, then everything's thrown up and they go to what is called a free committee. And at that point, the committee can do anything they want with the budget. And that's what happened. They went to a free committee. They got rid of some of the members that were on the original committee and brought in some others that were more liberal minded. And within a matter of 12 hours or less, they had a budget. And by then it was Thursday night, Friday morning, when we were getting ready to go home. We still had not been able to see the budget that was brought to us on Friday morning, and we were told this is you need to vote. Kind of reminds you of Nancy Pelosi, doesn't it? Read, pass the bill, and then you can read it later. We're still trying to figure out what this budget was that got passed. But so it passed on Friday, and it's sitting on the governor's desk right now. He has line item power to strike anything that's in this budget. So one of the things that really concerns us is in the budget, the Senate was able to put in there to eliminate the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Program, DEI program at the University of Wyoming. It's very possible the governor may decide to veto that. We also tried to get rid of the Gender Studies program at the University of Wyoming, but we were unsuccessful for that. So you've probably heard different versions of the bill. Every day we're getting an update as our legislative service office is trying to put together the numbers. But the final budget is $11 billion. And then if you put all the bills that were passed, that brings it up to $11.5 billion. Now, we put about $856 million into savings. But repeatedly on the House floor, when we were talking about property tax relief, they said $300 million was too much. The state cannot afford that. But yet we put $850 million into savings. And as a conservative group, we wanted to get that money back to the taxpayers through property tax relief. But it was too expensive. So we also grew government by adding more employees. That's still kind of fluid. We don't have a firm number on that. There's a lot of moving parts to that. But just to give you some of the idea of what some of the pork is included in this budget bill, it seems like everybody that was on this free committee got to take pork home with them. Amazing how that happens, isn't it? But there's an arboretum in Cheyenne that we're gonna spend millions for to save some trees. We don't even own this arboretum. It's owned by the city of Cheyenne, but the state's going to come in and save these trees, and it's going to cost us millions of dollars. There's appropriations in this bill for a state museum in Cheyenne. Can you tell that there are some appropriators from Cheyenne that were working on this? There's a new helipad to be built in Casper for $7.5 million. There's an appropriator from Casper. We're going to relocate it from an existing helipad to Casper and build a brand new one on property that's not even owned by the state. And that arboretum, is not owned by the state, but we're going to put a lot of money in there to try and maintain and take care of that. Riverton gets a new recreation center. Up in the northeast part of our state, there's a historic building that the state is going to pay to refurbish. The Casper area is going to get $2 million for an air show. And we get a new state. We get to continue having a state office in Taiwan. Now, go figure. Why do we need, as Wyoming, to have a state office in Taiwan? By the way, one of the wins that the conservatives were able to push through, there was $700,000 in the original bill for a Rose Parade float to go down to Pasadena, California, and buy a bunch of flowers and make a float that says Wyoming on it. Now, I believe this was one of those tricks where they put that in there so we could see it. It was pretty obvious. So it's watch this ball while they do some other things over on this other side. But we got that removed, the Pasadena Rose Parade float. So that, and the other big win for us was border security. We pushed for $2 million to help out on our southern border. That was not well received, but in the end, we were able to get $750,000 to help defray any costs if any of our enforcement people from Wyoming want to go down there or are sent down there to help out with our southern border. We're all border states at this point. We realize this. We're all feeling the impact of that open border down there. And we as a legislature wanted to lend our support for those states that are most impacted down there on the southern end. So that's in a quick nutshell where we are with $11.5 billion coming up from an original 8.6, 33% raise in just a few short years under this current administration.
That is a great job that you just did there, Scott. That was 4 weeks worth of work boiled down into about 5 minutes. So well done. We do have a fact sheet on that, what you just discussed with some of the highlights, and that's going to be available in the comments of this Facebook. Did you want to say something, Scott?
No, 4 weeks went by really fast, but that's really what happened to us. We spent 4 weeks on a budget, and when they had a free committee, free joint appropriations committee, they threw that 4 weeks out and they brought their own budget in. So it was kind of disappointing for most of us. The week worked hard. And during that time period as conservatives, We tried to reduce that budget by $700 million, but every amendment we brought, we were spurned by the liberal side of the chamber. They did not let us pass a single reduction in the budget, except for the Rose Parade.
Well done. Hey, I would like you to mention something about the CAPCON bill early on. What happened to the CAPCON bill, and why did the Wyoming Freedom Caucus take action on that?
So the CAPCON bill is a lot of times filled with a lot of pork. And because the Freedom Caucus, we realized we do not have the votes to pull out these items line by item, line by line, because you have to have a majority to do that. During introduction, a bill that's not a budget bill has to have two-thirds of the chamber vote in favor of it. So that's the only opportunity we had as a Freedom Caucus, as a conservative group, to stop all that pork that's in CAPCON. So we voted not to let it be introduced. That surprised everyone. Never before has a CAPCON bill not been passed. But what we wanted to do was step back and allow us to be able to bring those important projects back, but not grouped with all this pork that was in this CAPCON. CAPCON bill was $220 million. And as it was, we were able to reduce that by about $60 million by these tactics and this strategy we did.
So in the end, it was effective in getting rid of some of that pork.
So you're right.
Thank you for all those efforts, and thank you for sharing with all of our listeners on that. I'd like to move right into the Q&A right now. And Jesse shared with me that there was one question. I'll try to address it quickly. And that was there any efforts to deal with CRT, critical race theory? Well, we did on various fronts. You mentioned try to deal with the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at the university. Right now, as it sits, that is unfunded and would be shut down. But again, you mentioned that the governor has the chance to veto that. I brought a bill that would have prohibited CRT, critical race theory, from being taught in schools in K through 12 in the state of Wyoming, as well as being used in our government as far as training our employees. And that bill twice now has not been introduced. I have been told by the speaker that he is not interested in that type of legislation. So those of you who want to see CRT move forward as being prohibited in the state of Wyoming, it's being held up by the leadership in the House. So that's the story on that.
John, I might mention that there were 99 bills that died in that desk drawer that were not brought out of the speaker's desk. 99 bills, and there were some of them were committee bills also. So they were... That may have been a record for the number of bills that were killed by one man.
So all the hubbub about the Wyoming Freedom Caucus killing some of those committee bills at the beginning, well, it was outdone just about by the speaker himself, huh?
Yeah, there were five committee bills that never made it out of his drawer.
That's amazing. Jesse, could you let us know what the next question is that we can answer? We'll try to get a couple more in here as quickly as we can.
So the next question that I'm seeing is, was anything done on medical freedom?
That's one I'm going to ask Sarah to address. I know we had some bills that didn't get introduced, and I'll let Sarah talk about that.
Yeah. So with medical freedom, we had the same bill from previous session back to say no masking and vax mandates and things like that. Of course, that didn't get introduced, didn't make it out of the speaker's drawer. We also had a bill that was actually a labor health committee bill on a parental rights in minor health care choices. And that bill ended up getting killed in a committee. But what that did was address some circumstances in Wyoming that parents have been barred from accessing their child's medical records once they turn age 12. And the reason for that is some facilities are citing in our statute where it says that parents, children can at 12 years old can access treatment for smoking cessation without their parents' knowledge. And so they're using that to broaden to all health records. It also would have repealed a portion in our statute that says that kids can be vaccinated without their parents' knowledge if the parents can't be found in a public health emergency. And we had a lot of back and forth where there's a lot of people in our state, guys, that think that it's appropriate to vaccinate a kid in a public health emergency, even though they could provide us with no circumstances when that would actually have been applicable in our history, and really couldn't even come up with any plausible excuses as to fabricate to come up with a reason why. But that bill died. So something that we definitely want to look at trying to bring back again.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm going to actually go back to Scott for just a second, because I saw he was drinking, so I wanted to catch him with his mouthful. You know, one of the things I know is near and dear to all of our listeners is election integrity. And we had something both on the budget, that's the reason I'm coming back to you, that had to do with our Secretary of State being able to go to other states that were keeping Donald Trump off their ballots, and him being able to join lawsuits to try to force them. And really, it's important to the people of Wyoming, isn't it, that that these other states allow Trump to be on the ballot?
It is. What our basis of our Constitution is: free and open elections. And so as some of these states were trying to limit who was on their ballot and basically control the election that way, our Secretary of State was filing amicus briefs with those courts, not with the state money. He didn't spend any state money on this, from my understanding. And he was just filing some amicus briefs in support of letting Trump be on the ballot in these other states. That infuriated some members of our legislature. So in the budget bill, there was a footnote that would limit him and his powers, not allowing him to do anything outside the state. So we fought that hard, and we didn't have the votes to actually remove that footnote. So we amended to add that footnote to the other four executives as well. And we got that in, and eventually when they saw that it would again apply to all of those four top elected officials, then they removed all of those. So we were able to, through our strategy, get that removed, so that was intended to limit our Secretary of State's powers, constitutional powers.
So there was another issue with election integrity, and that was a bill that was a committee bill that was going to prohibit the use of private funds in elections. In other words, Zuckbucks, the Zuckerberg bucks being used to influence elections. And now that bill was in committee. Can you tell the people what happened in committee with that bill?
So that bill passed introduction with overwhelming support from the House. Almost everybody voted to let that bill be introduced. And it went to the committee to be heard. And one of our legislators tabled it because he was upset because some of the bills that he wanted to be introduced did not get introduced. So he tabled this in committee. And so he thought he was getting back at the conservatives. He was actually hurting all of Wyoming by doing that. He was hurting you and I and all of those that want fair and honest elections. He hurt us as a state.
Very good. You know what? I'm going to let one more question go on through. We're running kind of long here, Jesse, but give us one that we can wrap up real quickly.
Okay, so is there anything that was done this session to address illegal immigration, knowing that Denver is being completely overrun with illegal immigrants right now?
So I'm going to answer that real quickly. Senate File 120 is the one that would have probably had the most effect on that. And what Senate File 120 did is it limited the ability of unauthorized aliens to receive a driver's license or a photo ID that they could use either in elections or for many other purposes in the state of Wyoming. And that bill actually passed the Senate and came over to the House, and it died in committee. And we tried to bring that out of committee and failed to receive enough votes. So we recorded a vote on that so that people would know who is it that is not willing to fight this this border war that we're having right now in Wyoming. And so that was a concern. That was about the only real straightforward bill that would have helped with the immigration situation. There's really no reason Wyoming should be providing driver's licenses to illegal aliens. And that's what that bill would have addressed. All right. Well, with that, I really am grateful to this panel and your time. And thank you to the listeners who've come on and found out what the Wyoming Freedom Caucus has to say about this last session. Now, folks, we barely scratched the surface of all the things that happened. And we wanted to get this wrapped up quickly, but we will have more town halls. We will have more of the members of the Freedom Caucus and our allies on so that you can hear from other people what their take was on the session. So keep tuned to the Wyoming Freedom Caucus Facebook page. And again, many of the pieces of information that we shared tonight are on fact sheets that you can access in the comments of this particular post. So again, folks, let's fight for Wyoming, America's last hope.